Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matty G Digital.
And before we get started, head over to kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca/checklist and download Matt and Brian's marketing checklist for Kawartha small businesses. All right, Matt, today we are back to our pandemic setup because you are sick. I thought I would just point that out to everybody. We're not from the doing this from the Thrive podcast studio, but that's all good. So,
yeah, I'm grinding this one out. I am playing from the sidelines. I'm trying to think of a funny analogy, but I can't. But I have a chest infection and I'm going to power through it.
You're going to power through it. You prepared hard for this and you want to make sure that you are able to deliver everything that you prepared for.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to chat about visionaries and integrators, and I would love to know what that is and what we're talking about.
All right. Awesome. We are doing a whole episode and you know, part of this is for me to help sort of think out some things that I've been thinking about with this concept. And then part of it is to point people towards this resource, because I think it's core based on what's called the Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's some books by Gino Wickman. Gino Wickman has been involved in the strategic coach program, I think, and worked with like Dan Sullivan for many years. I think there's some really neat overlap, and it was kind of his work is something that I've heard about for years, but never actually read. And then, you know, I sort of dove into it and read some of it, and it's changed my outlook on a lot of things. And I was like, man, we need to get this on the podcast.
So what is it? Is it a book or a resource?
So resource, but basically it's based on a couple of books. So the book is called Traction, the original one from Gino Wickman. And then there's some spin-offs and, you know, as you put an idea out there and it gets better and better. The system is really called the Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's based on some core principles. And one of those is visionaries and integrators, and how it's, you know, any entrepreneurial organization or family business, there's really two roles. And when you try to do both of them, it usually doesn't work. And oftentimes people don't realize which one they are, or they're trying to do both, or you might have business partners who, you know, a lot of conflict comes from not really sort of getting on the same page of who's doing what. And we end up with a lot of chaos. And as we've talked about before, chaos is expensive. And when you kind of start with really separating, you know, visionaries and the integrators, you know, then we can move into like the structure or the system of running your business. So just to start at the basics, you know, visionaries often focus on the big picture, culture, client relationships. The integrator is the person who thrives on creating the order out of chaos. They're the person who's naturally suited to, you know, setting priorities, solving conflicts, removing obstacles, you know, getting the company from point A to point B. So, you know, some people are both by de facto when they open up their business. Sometimes you might have a really strong visionary who then gets frustrated because their business isn't moving and they need to partner with an integrator who helps understand their vision and you know, move it. Some business owners are great integrators. They're great at doing stuff, moving things, but they might not have, you know, the big picture vision for their business that it really needs to grow. I've sort of monologued a bit. I've thrown this stuff at you. What are your initial thoughts?
So yeah, I thought the visionary, the way you were describing it, was going to be the business owner big ideas. Here's where we're going. Then the integrators were kind of like the Who's. But in some ways, it sounds like the integrators take on, I don't know, maybe a bigger role than just a Who. But it does sound as if they're the integrators are basically the ones running the business in the day-to-day.
Yeah, so they can be the runner. They could be setting it up to be ran. What's neat about when you look at roles, and I've heard some things about, first of all, like visionaries are rare. Integrators are also very rare people to have that sort of skill set. They're not to be confused necessarily with managers. So managers manage. So they usually need very clear direction of what are you doing? What are you managing? The integrator really is, it is more day to day. It's clearing obstacles. It's strategic projects. It's finding who's setting up structures. It's setting the priorities of, what are the three things we're working on right now? And, they're focusing on that. Versus the, visionaries often might have a new idea every day or every few minutes. And I've seen this so many times. And when I read this stuff, it was punching me in the face where, you get an owner who's a visionary and they keep changing the priorities over and over. Or they have a new idea and they want to change tact on something right away. But the integrator is like a Who that, helps make things happen. They might find sort of other Who's.
They basically run the business in a way. Like you said, a manager still needs very strict instructions as to what to do. I'm always just thinking about things sometimes in my own little world. I'm like, okay, if I'm this person, who do I know that's the integrator? But who is the actual manager? Because I know people that are excellent at executing stuff and are amazing Who's, and they are extremely good if you give them precise, exact instructions. But like you said, they're not great at figuring out strategically how to move forward or what happens when there's an obstacle. So they would definitely not be an integrator. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And long term, you definitely really need to have both. Or if you're one person, I think you have to get really disciplined of carving your time and thought in between, because otherwise it really just gets messy.
Interesting. And yeah, I at first I thought I was maybe both. I probably am not the visionary, though, the more I think about it. I've got ideas, but I sometimes think visionaries are wacky. I'm wacky, but maybe that means I'm wacky.
Yeah, it's fascinating that you're thinking that, because when I was reading this, and there's if you go to EOSworldwide.com, that's their core spot. They've got quizzes, are you an integrator or a visionary? And, in reading the books, I took it, and I can see in my past and my current trying to do both. And there's times where I'm an integrator all day long. But then there's other times where I'm definitely visionary, because I think I could sometimes take and see long-term visions for businesses that's kind of beyond what owners working in the business can see sometimes. So for me, I'm I have to clearly define when I'm doing each one and sort of what my role is. Because I think in a few sort of positions I've held, I've been kind of like an integrator. And I think I'm very skilled at doing that. But a lot of my frustrations come from maybe not being on the same page with the visionary, or working with someone who's maybe not compartmentalizing out their visionary role.
Interesting. What's the point of determining this, though? What is it, a leadership thing, or why do we try to sort this out?
Leadership, it's structure, it's finding who's, it's clarity. You need, there's some good case studies they have of like, you know, family businesses, or often if there's co-owners in business or a leadership team where there's little bits of conflict of like, well, one person says to do this and another person says to do that. You know, the visionary, it really helps set a, like that long-term vision. And then the integrator's goal is to, you know, get there and not get distracted from it. So when you don't have clarity over who's in charge, or who is, or if the visionary is leading a vision of like a company that's not actually maybe doing what's actually getting integrated, it just doesn't work as well. And then you can't find the right, you know, people for the right roles to get you there. So to me, it's just all, you know, chaos and friction and misalignment. The entrepreneurial operating system really has a system that's a, you know, a set of meetings, role and accountability charts, philosophy of finding, you know, the right who's or the right people for the right roles. And when they're clear on what to do, you attract better people and they perform better. So, you know, if you have kind of two bosses and no one knows who to listen to and everything changes all the time, then they're not sure, you know, it's not going to flow as well as you'd like it to flow.
Yeah. You don't want to go to mom and have her say one thing, and then you go to dad and he tells you a different thing. It's the same thing in business. You need to make sure everyone's sort of on that same page.
Yeah. And that's a great analogy with like the parents as well. Because there's also, you know, some discipline in what they call the end run, which is, you know, maybe the visionary hires an integrator, the integrator's integrating, but someone from the staff sort of maybe doesn't like what the integrator's doing or they don't get it. So they run to the visionary and sort of like ask them to do something. And then the visionary's like, oh, yeah, sure, like do it your way. And then it causes chaos. So when you're aware of these things and you have clear roles and responsibilities, it makes everything else easier and it removes that, that frustration. It's not easy to do. And they have some great tools about, you know, how to make sure you're on the same page and how you divide those responsibilities as well and keep and stay on the same page.
So how would someone locally implement this?
I think, you know, like locally, depending how small your business is, the best is, I mean, you got to kind of read the books and self do it. Official coaching, there are, you know, like everything, they have programmed to hire integrators. It's an interesting model. I was speaking to one. They really do it as a series of sort of meetings and steps that's like every few months. So it's not like day-to-day coaching that much, but it's really installing a system. They teach you how to kind of do it yourself. It's made for, I think any business can do it, but typically it is, you know, bigger than really small businesses. Because a lot of times you're going to be a little bit of both as a small business. You're kind of the visionary and the integrator. What I think is cool is, you know, talking to like us or sort of a coach, is you can help sort of split that a little bit in yourself sometimes to like have the visionary conversation, then have the integrator conversation and make sure that you're not kind of muddying it up yourself, so that it's, you know, clearer for your team.
Yeah, for sure. And like that clarity is probably important for the actual individual business owner and then the team as well.
Yeah, they need to really know, you know, the sort of vision stuff, the overarching, you know, there's some like big picture, you know, the culture you want, you know, managing client relationships. You know, a lot of people struggle doing that and sort of doing the day-to-day management, you know, picking goals, Most people don't even do some of that stuff, right? So sometimes you need some outside help just to sort through those different roles and things that you need. There's also merit in knowing who you need to hire as well. So you might think, oh, I need an integrator, but someone else might say, oh, actually, I need a visionary type of person that I'm going to hire, who's going to be, a senior management type, who's going to, they're going to understand what I want through my business, but they're going to drive it, a bit beyond maybe where my vision is, because they can see it differently. They're going to run big client relationships. They're going to set the culture of the team. They're going to be communicating all the time, doing some leadership stuff. Or if you are that visionary and that's what you like to do, you might need to hire the person who's going to get your system set up, set your goals and priorities, figure out what are our focuses, projects for this quarter, for example, that type of stuff.
The visionary title seems a bit weird, though. It's almost too big and somewhat pretentious to call yourself or label yourself that, though.
Yeah, I don't know that you need to label it. And these are not necessarily titles as much as roles as a business. And I think that's where sometimes people get confused. Some people do label themselves that. I see on LinkedIn, people will go to a workshop like this, and now I can spot it, and they'll be like, visionary, right? Yes. Is now their LinkedIn title. And I think it can fit, but without context, it does look pretentious.
Super pretentious. And please don't put that on your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I definitely won't. And I think what was fascinating for me is, doing it is I can play both. And I think sometimes I have more of a visionary role with some other people's businesses is what I've learned.
For sure.
I think I can see them doing something and I immediately, in my mind go through a lot of strategic frameworks and external environment, and I can see the opportunity for their business and, the wealth they can create and, how to market it, all these bigger picture things. That's usually beyond what they thought. They're like, I just wanted to make cookies, or I just wanted to do X, right? And so sometimes you need that visionary to drive it beyond what you thought it was. And then other times you're just frustrated because you can see all of that, but it's not happening. So you need someone who can make it happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's what sets experts apart from novices or people just getting started or maybe will never become experts. Those people will continue to have those conversations and be the integrator or whatever else it is. They're never going to be that visionary that's going to see bigger picture things for that business that they're working with. I'm not going to name names or even industries, but I've seen that a lot from you in the last couple months as well with a couple different projects that we've spoken about for even Thrive in so many ways, and Magi Digital and Starting Point even, and other ones that we've kind of worked with and collaborated with. And I think that really does separate us from the experts, again, from the people that maybe will never get there. Interestingly, when you're talking about being able to see some big picture things, I find that I'm able to do that from an SEO perspective of all places. When doing keyword research, finding out how people are searching for things. When we were talking with the woman that owns the eye care place that we were talking about, and bringing up all these different searches and showing there's a lot of opportunity here. There's a lot of different ways people are searching. Are you focused on pediatric eye care, senior eye care, specific to those areas? And it's fascinating when you do keyword research from an SEO perspective, what other options and opportunities are out there for you.
Yeah, and I think that is, it's really fascinating. And there's, again, there's putting the visionary hat on and focusing in on a tool like SEO. is something like that. It's, and I think people look at SEOs as like robotic things sometimes. And it's like a game. And as much as that's kind of true, it also is rooted in empathy. And, you know, if you have something people are looking for or they're open to, it's thinking about how people are searching for that, or what are the ways that are different than what we think from what people are actually doing. And it's having that vision of, you know, how to do that. And even as we talk this out, I'm thinking about, if you're bringing something new that no one's even looking for, it's like, what are those things that once they start hearing about it, how are they going to then look for you? Right. It's like, you know, looking for, you know, that guy with the beard and the glasses, right? Or I won't say her name, but I'm working with someone right now who's known as, you know, the chick with the purple hair. And I'm like, that's a great sort of like marketing thing. And, you know, you don't not necessarily picking those, but yeah, how are people searching, or what are those little edges we can get? You know, and then the integrator would take that and they would make it happen, right? Make the content that's going to feed that stuff happen in a context that makes sense for the whole business.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's just a shame that every other marketer has a beard and looks like a hipster. Maybe I need purple hair. Maybe I need a purple beard.
Yeah, you should be that guy. I know a guy actually, and we always called him Bluebeard, and I could not tell you his actual name. Like, and I know his children, and I had no idea those were his children for years, because this was all through like Scouts Canada stuff, and he kind of let his kids do his own thing, and he was a volunteer. Anyway, I'm like, I didn't know your kids were here. I just thought he was some guy who was like volunteering. But anyway,
Bluebeard is clearly a pirate.
I couldn't begin to tell you what his name is. I don't think I've ever heard it in my entire life.
It's funny how we take those personas on as nicknames or whatever, and we never really understand what effect they'll have. Someone when I was in grade 7 called me Matty G for the first time. I know the guy's name. Still, and to this, oh, now that's like the name of the business that I first started in 2019. I took that nickname that people started calling me back in grade 7 and turned it into a persona. I'm convinced that there's certain people that don't know my name that I work with. Still, they just call me Matty G. That's it. Or they'll call me Matty G Digital. They don't even really know my first or last name, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, and that's, you know, those little things that help you, you know, help you stand out, help you be known. You know, what is it you want to be known for? That's kind of some visionary stuff. Yeah, I think just to sort of loop back, there's one of the other sort of books in the series is called Rocket Fuel. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about sort of the combination of visionaries and integrators sort of mixed right is like rocket fuel for your business. And, you know, it's kind of worked for, they've used it in like Disney, you know, McDonald's, Ford, sort of a lot of big companies have used, sort of that type of fuel or that type of team to get things, going, which I think is pretty cool.
Rocket Fuel Marketing. I think there's a different name locally, actually. But yeah, Rocket Fuel.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that your friend's business? It's Think Fuel Marketing.
Oh, no, that's it. That wasn't the one I was even thinking of. There's a different one. I won't mention their name even.
But... Okay, yeah. I don't know who that is.
There's a rocket in the name for sure.
Oh, rocket something, yeah.
It's a color and then rocket. I'm pretty sure. Now I'm just rambling, I think, but...
Yeah, I think so. But we won't look too far into it. But yeah, with just reading from some of this stuff here, like, you know, without the integrator, the visionaries far less likely to succeed long term and realize their company's ultimate goals. And, you know, with no visionary, an integrator can't rise to his or her full potential. So you really do need both of those. and kind of share their natural talents with each other and be on the right page. And it's just that awesome winning combination.
That's interesting. That's cool.
So through the conversation, do you have any thoughts on where you would fall on that?
I do think I am big picture, long-term visionary. And I think that I am continuing to try to push in that direction to be less involved as an integrator. But I do think the thing that somewhat makes me valuable is I'm able to take those big picture ideas and put together a process and a path to get to that point, which I don't think a lot of people can do. So I do see myself as a highly effective integrator if I need to and want to be, and leaving it for managers with that clear instruction, being able to know exactly what to do next. I think I want to be more of a visionary, if that makes sense, where I am like, hey, here's where we're going. I need to talk to my integrator, which is something I've thought about for at least a year or two, of having a designated integrator. And then that's it. They're off to the races with it from there.
Yeah. And I think it's neat to know kind of where you think you naturally fall to be able to pursue. Cause again, it takes a while to get to that state. Sometimes you need the right scale to be able to, you know, pay both of those people properly. It's good to, I think one neat thing to realize, and we've talked about it before, is like not everybody has those skill sets. So oftentimes I think in business, they will like have someone who's maybe a great manager, but they're not ever going to be an integrator because they're good at managing. So it's like, you tell me what to do and I will do it. But the figuring it out, how to do it from a vision, is not really where they are. And then a lot of, I think, small businesses as well end up doing a bit of both. And again, I've sort of done both as well as part of businesses. And for me going forward, it's like, okay, which hat am I wearing here? And then how do I get myself into positions where I naturally am doing the parts that I want to do?
It's interesting because I can definitely see how I would be able to do that with existing people too. Like you said, scale is always the issue where you want that visionary. Like I'm the visionary or whatever. I have an integrator. I have a manager, but just be a matter of now using them as that defined way specifically.
Yeah. And it's, and that's really, again, when you dig into it, they have some great sort of organizational roles and some clarity that I think works for any business in terms of, you know, what hats are people wearing? Does that make sense? Do they have the skill set to do that? Do they have a clear direction to do that? Like all of these are core fundamentals. And what I found really neat about reading this is there's so many books on business. There's so many people who are experts. So much of it is regurgitating other people's stuff. I love digging into who the authors are, who they're connected to, you know, and I think there's really a few kind of thought leaders who like really know their stuff at the core, you know, and like this is, you know, I think Gino Wickman's work is like key. He's friends with, or, you know, part of Strategic Coach, which is Dan Sullivan stuff. That's, you know, Who Not How, The Gap and the Gain. We've talked lots of, you know, borrowed stuff from Dan on our podcast. And it really just simplifies those core few things. But as we were talking on the weekend about something else, simple does not mean it's easy to do. So often understanding it, trying to simplify it, you know, working through some of these things is a great key to success.
Right on.
Awesome. Any final thoughts?
I want you to add visionary to your profile on LinkedIn. Like, that's it. Just visionary. Brian Rump, visionary.
Oh, yeah. I think I would need to maybe have to lose a bet or something to do that. So, or I'll change it and send you a screenshot of it. But it's funny. Now that we talk about this, you're definitely going to notice it more. And I think you're going to start sending me some screenshots of people who have visionary.
I guarantee that I will.
That's a bad thing at all. So I'm noticing now Implementor a lot because they have, you know, people who are sort of certified implementers in this system. And there's people who, you know, are good at doing that type of stuff, which is, again, interesting as well. But for now, I think, you know, the core concept is great. I recommend, you know, it's hard for business owners to read all the books that others have. I think that's kind of why I'm here and why I think people should hire me sometimes, as I've kind of read and explored a lot of the tools and I can help curate the ones that you need. And I would say that this is one of those core fundamental books. And if you are trying to build a business and a team and you have either grand visions or you outwork everyone and you think your business could just be something amazing someday, but you don't know really how to get there, or you don't know how big it could be, you know, the language, the tools in these books are really going to help you with that. So awesome. So with that, that is our episode. If you want to talk more about this, you can join us every Monday morning at Thrive Coworking Community at 8:30. We host a coffee for entrepreneurs and small business owners. So come out to join us there. Matt and I would love to work with you like we have with a couple other businesses. We can help you start, grow, or recharge your business. You can check out the website or just send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.